This is a story about,
What's that date? August?
August 22nd, year 2009, Arctic Village. Recording with Matthew. Interesting story from Stephen. Tell me the story. And that story came from Stephen's mother, Susan. Susan's probably born around 1875. Susan remember a lot of good stories from the way back, and she's a storyteller, and I heard a lot about her, and she know all that Takon, him, that Chelik, she know a lot of Chelik too. She's the one that makes that song for the Hitler's war, and so that was really a good one, and I remember that, and she's a very smart, intelligent woman. And well, she tell the stories about that during that hard time from the way back, when the people without food for a long period of time, and sometimes their people starve to death, and even children's. People have dogs during that time, and I don't know, probably not very many dogs because of that hard time. So one time the story is, and there's only one dog left that's a female. So that's only dog left among the people. There's no way they can breed them because without male. So sooner or later that female was acting but she just make noise, and she's on heat, and she's kind of roll around and make noise and make different kind of, she act a lot of different way, and she need that male, but there's no way they can get a male dog. And then she's doing that for a little while, and then later on that they found out that female got pregnant, got big belly. So people surprised, and that dog was having a bunch of puppy later on. Maybe that's where that dog's breeding dog again from this area. I didn't really know where, but then maybe around here, and they always travel a lot of places anywhere, like Yukon Flat and Canada. They always travel, visit each other, and sometimes for the emergency, like without food. So that's what Susan tells us, a story about that dog. So sounds like that's where that they breed them again from that female. It's an interesting story. And we all know that in thousands of years people survive. It's not easy to survive in this cold climate here, and weather, it says it's really cold up this way during the time 70 below, that people wear fur coat, and everything is fur pants, fur mitten. So they're tough people, and they live on a tent, skin tent year-round. So they've been trained that way, so they get used to it. So people are strong, and they walk many, many miles with snowshoe and year-round traveling. So it must be hard life, but then they are very healthy people we're talking about. Well, that's my story, and then other side of the Brooks Range, I don't know what, why that one of our men at the Baskin was living over there, and probably ever since he was young, he was there and lived on sheep. So he got used to it, I think, so he never did leave that country on the other side, maybe that Hula River somewhere. And maybe those people from the coast know him very well, so he's living there all his life. And his brother is with him too sometime, and maybe his brother spend more time on this side, so sometime he spend a little time with him over there. That's what I heard, and I heard he's married one time, and he lost his wife, and he got one dog after he lost his wife, and he's out and hunting and sitting on top of the hill. And his dog was happy, and he rolled around and play himself. And then that Toyin Tin, his name is Toyin Tin, he told his dog, "Don't you know that we're in trouble without my wife? You should know that." And the dog is happy, but the dog, "I don't understand that." So that's the story. And then later on, you know that when our people from the way back, they connected to that animal. A lot of our people know the caribou people, we call them around here, and they know a lot about people like my father and my mom and many others. And they know that when that this time of the year, maybe August, when the caribou herd is coming, they know it before that, and three or 4 days before that herd is coming this way. So that where they predict weather too. And then a lot of time they say, "This is the caribou weather." And sometimes fog down to the halfway to the mountain and lipping up on the afternoon, and then for sure the caribou is there. So it's happened, and my father always remind me, and she's sitting outside his house and look with a spotting scope, and he know which direction this caribou is coming. So he look out, and then once he spotted caribou, and then he tell everybody caribou is coming. So that kind of people, we call them caribou people. So that's a story I have. And then oh yeah, that Toyin Tin is over the other side, Brooks Rain. July is our people from here usually go up and hunt sheep before caribou herd coming on August and September. So they probably worry about him all the time because he's alone over there, so they told him to come back with them. But he don't get used to on this country. And on other side, just clear country, you get used to it, you just like sheep. You're probably thinking like a sheep too, you know. And so one time they got tired of thinking about, worry about him, and so he told them, come back with us. And they coming back over the spruce range, and then once they see that spruce tree, a lot of spruce tree, and then he don't know nothing about spruce tree. And then he thought that was a human. So they camped overnight, and then that night while everybody's sleeping, he just took off and went back to where he come from. So people got kind of mad at him, but then he don't get used to on this side, so. That's his story. Maybe he died over there later on. So that's the end of his story. And another story is there's a cliff like a sheep trail, and there's a big gap between that rocks, and the trail was a crossing, so probably 8 to 9 feet jump. And when the sheep are crossing, they jump about this far. And so they, if you miss it, then you won't safe, way down. They said there's some bone, they found it, an animal bone, because they fill up the cliff and the rock. And they, so one time they chasing that old man, that I don't know which group were chasing that old man. He was running ahead of him and sheep trail, so he was also, he tried to jump over, but then he didn't make it, so he fell up, so he died there. And so they call him Tichikeraha, chasing the old man, and died there. That's what they call Tichikeraha. And Chizuko, that's another story, good story for other site, and we call it Keno Two Land. And even Athabascan people spend a lot of time over there. I remember a lot of people talk about it. Even John Fritz's father is over there, and Paul Solomon's father. And they spend a lot of time over there during the winter. They said they just burn the willow all winter. He said that's a tough place to live, and Paul Solomon said. But they love the sheep meat, so. So that's 1002 land, and then people use that land from the way back many years before us. That's another story.
Tell that thing you told about the climate change, that little there no, the climate change even 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, like maybe more than 100 years, with old John, that's Jimmy John's father. I see Jimmy John in 1955, first time I see him, came back from Fort Yukon. Before that he spent Fort Yukon for many years, and he got married down there, I think so. And when old John lived in the old John Lake, and that's where he raised him, I think. And him and Guinness, my wife, father, Guinness Coleman. 1955 he came back, and then first time I see Jimmy John, I got his picture. And old John was, he lived over 100 years, and David Salmon saw him. I mean, my mother talked about him all the time. He probably died in 1927 or 1928. He lived over there a long time, and he told David Salmon about the future, probably 100-year visions. And he said later on, it's going to be land going to be dried up in our area, in Yukon Flat and up north. Everywhere, and water level is going to go down, and he's talking about dried up. So it's slowly it's happened in this country, and we're losing a lot of lakes, drain out, permafrost, glacier. There's snow up in the mountain year round, even July. It's warm weather. I grew up with it. I've been watching where the snow every year. I remember, they're all gone, and glaciers are all gone. So that water on the river is pretty low. Even Porcupine is pretty low. And Yukon River is pretty low too sometimes. So that old man talks about dried up. And he even said that Yukon River, it's a big river, but later on we can go across with that. We can go walk across that river, he said. So it seems to me it's what they talk about, it's here slowly. It changed a lot in our area in the state of Alaska. So even people along the coast, people have problem with erosion. Ice is melting, and that animal's going to be changed. And even now, this animal is changing. And that, like bear, grizzly bear, and polar bear, and sometimes there's no berries, so that bear is hungry. So it changed, and polar bear is really in trouble. When the animals decline, all the birds. And when I grew up, I was 7 years old, and 5 years, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I remember we stayed in a tent, springtime. It was so noisy. The birds are singing all night. Ducks, ptarmigan, all kinds of birds make noise and swallow hundreds of them, maybe a thousand of them flying around Arctic Village every summer, thousands of them. When you look up in the sky, you can see them, thousands of them every day. Since last many years, I didn't see one, just one flying around. And that bird, there's some bird here and there. Some of the bird, they don't sing for you no more. Some of them, you don't see them anymore. What happened to them? They're all dying. Just few robin I seen, but they don't make noise. They don't sing for you because they know what's going on. They know what's going to happen. They know they're losing a lot of them. A lot of them died. Animals are smart. So, and even that wolf. I remember when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, I go out nighttime, cold weather. I stand outside, go pee, and I listen to them. Wolf here and there, bunch of them. Big pack of wolf howling. Now, the wolf don't even howl around here no more. Just very few time I listen to them. When they are happy, animals are happy, they always make noise. They're sitting on top of the mountain in hollow, and they don't do that anymore. Even fox, I didn't see fox around the village. Used to be 100 of them. There's a fox in here and there, wolf in here and there. I didn't see them anymore. So that, because of the human activities, I think too much going on in this world. And then that when I listened to the old man and long time ago, there's no germs. Nobody's sick. Only way people died is you have to hang them. If they ask for it, they got tired of living. So when they're hard time, they don't want people to waste time on them, so they've been hanged. And they want children to live, so they do that. So that's kind of thing happened a long time ago. People died a natural death, that's all. Now it's changed. There's so many disease, untreated disease from the air, from the water, from the food. The world is really changed now. That's what the old people talks about. Today it's coming. So it's what's going to happen next 2-3 generations. We never know. So it's kind of hard. Time is coming. So we have to let them know. Way ahead of the time. So that's according to our old story. So it's here now. Everything has changed. So that's all I can say on this tape. Thank you.
Hello, August
24, 2009, Arctic Village.
This story is, I heard David Salmon, my brother David Salmon, when he was alive, and he told me this story from his father. And I don't know what year it's happened, but probably 1900 later, and people selling the beaver skin, so people shoot beaver and then they sell it to the, I don't know, Fort Yukon store maybe, and so that story is like they go after the beaver somewhere. Wherever there's a lot of beaver, they always hunt and shoot the beaver. So this happened around Chalkeetsik. I don't know that country very well myself. And he said Upshinchik. And I don't know, and Shinchik or that Getla. Tivitla, I mean, that's a sheep mountain. I don't know where's a sheep mountain. Probably around Colleen River, between Old Crow. But he said that's it's hardly anybody go up that far during that time. So he and his father and somebody else, they hunt beaver. They paddle all the way up, I think, upriver, upstream. And that sheep mountain, and he said there's a lot of lakes and a lot of beaver there. So they know that good beaver country, so they paddle all the way up, two of them. So, once they get up there, and then one area, and they're kind of split, and his William Salmon and his buddy, and then anyway, and he sounds like William Salmon was make it back slough, I think, that's where he's heading. And then his buddy was shooting and a little far away from it. And he heard him shooting. And then he's paddling maybe or walk back slough, and he waiting for his buddy up on the hill, and he heard him shooting. And then William Salmon was waiting there, and then he saw that where he's shooting, and then he saw the men come out, and he's dressed different, maybe fur. So he got bow and arrow he carry. He saw him. And then looked like that man start walking away from shooting. And he saw him crossing the slough. And then he said by that time he got nervous and scared. So he's kind of really weak, and he almost went to sleep because of his scared. And he saw that man went across that slough, And then he got scared, and then once ceased. And sooner or later, he got up and he went down to check his buddy right away. So when he found him and he told him and what happened, he saw somebody back there. And they know what's going on before that, and they know a lot of story about what's happening. So they know that was a brushman. And then they put everything they got on the canoe, and they start paddling back down where they come from. And they said while they're paddling, and even the shells on their packet, it's kind of rattling. So they paddle a long ways, and they both scared, the story about those kind of thing, my mom told me about it, and a long time ago, when they see anybody see that brushman or what they call that Bigfoot, I don't know, and they people got scared and they lost their strength, so you just barely walk and you got scared. I think that's from the maybe medicine they got and make you feel like that. So when they paddle long ways and then they could hear that shells on their pocket was rattle, and then they just try to make it back to where they come from, and so they spend a lot of time paddling. So they both got scared. That's a brushman story. David told me about it. And William Salmon, that's David's father, told this story. I think that's a true story, David told me.
Tell that story about Toit in his up and mountain cooking.
Yesterday I talked about Toin Tin. He lived other side of the Brooks Range. He probably spent a little time on this side of the Brooks Range too, but then he never get away from the mountain. And maybe his brother spent time with him, and he told the people, our people, so that story is carried on. And he said him and his brother, when they shoot or snare mountain sheep and up in a higher altitude, there's no firewood, but there's some place sheep hang around many years, and you can see that drops. It's just like the rapids drops, and big pile. So he said they burn that and they blow it. That's the only way it's making. When you blow it, it's become red, and then it's so hard to burn, just slow burning. And then when they blow it, both of them, so it's become a red and a little bit red, and then this is the way they cook the meat too, that I read. And when my brother and I, we cook the meat, and it got the asshole, never, and we blow it, both of them. And so this is the way they cook the meat a little bit, and maybe that's not well done, but maybe they just melt the fat a little bit and they eat it like that. And so he's that kind of person, sheep man. Well, that's another story, short story about him. Well, one time when I visit Old Crow and Sarah Abel, and she passed on not too long ago, and she's from Old Crow, and his brother lived in Port Yukon a long time too. That's Peter Chuzo. I read the Peter is the oldest one. His wife's name is Nina Chitsikyak. I read they've been married for a long time in Port Yukon, and so that's where the Sarah Chit come from. Sarah Chit is still here and with us in Arctic Village, and she's the only one live. I said, so Sarah, visit Otsita, and I talk with her about a lot of things about our people many years ago. And well, I heard that Neitsaguchin people and Old Crow people and a person, and we talk about that people travel by foot. They cover a lot of area up north, east, south, west, and they cover the whole area by foot. And then but I never heard that people got lost and things like that. Nowadays our people get lost so easy without map and a compass. So that during that time is people don't have nothing, so they just predict maybe that north and North Star, and they've been watching and different star and moon and sun, so they and wind is the most important thing, so they never got lost. And one other thing is helping them is this whole country, every lake and mountain and river and small creek, and they name Dinjijuk, they call their name Tatsangvan, Shinchuk, Ka'altai, Kalin River. When they talk about things like place like this, and everybody know that place, and that's what they use. And they don't have map, but then they know where they're talking about it. Once they tell each other where they did something a year past, that they never get lost. So I asked that minister, and we talk about this, and thousands of years they live on this country, and they don't know. They probably know God, and like Wasaki Tsuk and Tia Queen. And they remember that story. So a lot of time they did the good things for the people and to an animal too. So and they know that they come from somewhere. That's why they're helping the world, part of the world. And so pretty soon that we come up with that, later on we heard about God and the Lord and the Spirit. So we discuss about the Spirit. Good Spirit is with them. Like from here to Old Crow, when they travel, the Holy Spirit with them and guide them everywhere they go, so they never get lost. So So I didn't hear too much of a story about people got lost and froze to death and stuff like that. So thousands of years, they don't know God, but then the Spirit is with them. And then later on, after the gospel came into this country, then now they found out about who's in charge for the whole universe. That's what we've been talking to. I've been talking to Sarah Abel, and she said, my grandson, I always think about that. I know what you're talking about. I'm pretty sure you are right, she said. So the Holy Spirit is with them all that time. So, and even the hard time they have, and they always come out with, they come out a tragedy thing, they always come out of the problem, and then they start all over again. So without God, I don't think they're going to survive. So what they believe, different way they believe, and their culture, and they take care of it, and they follow it. And then David Salmon talk about it, and before 1930, and the Athabascan people, there's a lot of rule, they got a lot of law, they got their own law, native people, Athabascan. They follow it, and they raise the children with it. A lot of important things they follow. And so after 1930, and then we lost the whole thing. A lot of, he said something about just like we put everything in the big bucket and we just stir it, mix. So that's what happened to our culture. So we lost a lot of important thing. And that's why we do have a lot of problem today, he said. That's true, I believe it too. So a lot of time it's God with them, just like Moses out in the desert. There's a lot of sign they could see, and then they know that God is present with them. That's the same thing happened among the native people. Just like one time that one family, and without food, and they've been together. A lot of people been together, and they travel, and without food. And then one time, that one family, with they kind of move into other direction. And they were camping one place. They put their skin tent against a little hump. So without food, and they went to sleep. But they got fire going. The boy is with them. So nighttime, they burn, that may that wood is burning. And pretty soon the boy got up and said, I smell something. I smell something, he keeps saying that. I smell just like food burning. Animal food burning. And finally that, and they probably smell it too, that parents. So they get up and they check it out by the fire. That little hump is a moose, that dead moose. So foot is sticking out into that fire. It's burning part of it. That's what he smelled, that little boy. So they found out At night time, they found out there's a moose, dead moose. So what they did is they shovel all the snow and they work on it. And then they try to, after they would probably eat a little bit and maybe meat juice a little bit. And then that maybe man, he probably walked to another group without food. So he told those other people they found a dead moose. So they came and then they survived. See, it's happened like this. I told my grandma Sarah, all that miracle thing happened to the people. That's come from God, just like manna. So that my grandson, he told me, you are right. Always think about this, that's what she told me. So that's a lot of other time, it's different thing happen to the people when they're in trouble. So that's just like Bible stories, and people talks about it. They keep telling young people what happened long time ago. That's just good, another good story.